On Saturday mornings, I typically meet with Mark and Ruth, and we go through the order of the service and the songs that are to be sung and that are planned. And as we do that, we adjust tempos and make sure we have things in the right keys. And Mark has prepared for us usually the words correctly, and we make sure that I'm doing them right. It's a blessing to do that, and I appreciate their service to the life of this church so much. Well, yesterday as we practiced that song, How Beautiful, I got wrecked. In the first verse, I was singing and trying to get through the words, how beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful, and all morning long, on a couple of prayer threads that we have in our church family, we were talking about, okay, be sure we pray for Brandon and Russ today, for they will be on the streets this morning to share the gospel with homeless people downtown. I don't know if he's delivering sleeping bags yet or not. Might have not have had a chance to buy them, but tomorrow you're buying them? All right, good. A vision of them serving downtown just came into my head. And then pretty quickly after that thought, I went to Thursday, and I thought of our hostess team who had been here. They came in on, some of them were in here on Wednesday slicing up ham, getting ready for the meal that was going to happen on Thursday night. And then the rest of the team was here at least by 1 or 2 o'clock on Thursday, getting ready to serve the meal. And of course, with Jerlene's great leadership, she's a leader, because I was there a couple of times when I heard her give instructions, and she doesn't want to be highlighted, but I'm so thankful. But I thought of that as she was here serving and had the team, and they agreed to serve once again our Association of Churches here in the Inland Empire. And then I thought also of the people I was standing with, Mark and Ruth, and our preparation for today. And then I thought of many of others of you who serve so well and wonderfully in the life of our church. And I was wrecked. I could barely sing the song. Got me a little bit this morning, but I didn't want to talk about it before the song because, wow. But people, do you understand? Do you understand what the people of God are doing for one another right here in this body of Christ? I think we find such a wonderful spirit of that along the way. And of course, if we read from 1 Corinthians 12 and Hebrews 12 and certainly various other passages, we find just the reality of the wonderful service and the way that God has prepared and gifted people to serve. Because some of you are gifted to do things that I cannot do. I may be gifted for what I am supposed to do. I couldn't do it without a little bit of gifting. But some of you are gifted for other things that you do so wonderfully well. And I just want to say thank you. And affirm to you the pleasure of God when you step out and give service to Him. Such a wonderful, wonderful blessing that it is. Now, that also fits with my theme this morning as we preach, as I open the scriptures. Today I'm going to preach part 2 of the sermon I started last week and preached part 1 and realized that I was already 15 minutes over and I better not even think about part 2. So today we're going to be talking about part 2. And part 2 is that next portion of where in the Baptist Faith and Message it's called cooperation. In 1925, now do you hear that number and think, oh, that was 100 years ago. So this year is 100 years from the beginning and institution of the cooperative program. If you've been in Southern Baptist life for a long time, you've heard about the cooperative program. But what does the cooperative program do? We're going to talk about that a little bit in a little while. But essentially, it allows Southern Baptists from various churches around our city and around our region and then around the world to cooperate with one another in order to fulfill the Great Commission and do the work of the church. And it enables us in so many wonderful ways to do that. Well, I would like for you to think today about this sermon title I've given for the day that says, Cooperation Gets the Job Done. Cooperation gets the job done, because there are things that I need your help with. And there are things that you may need my help with. But none of us by ourselves can do all of the work of the church. I know some people who've tried and who want to be in charge of all of the work of the church. But I'm glad we have someone else in charge of the hostess team. I'm glad we have someone else in charge of managing finances. I'm glad we have someone else in charge of many of the other details and the work that happens in the life of our church. I'm grateful for the privilege to hand off leadership roles to people who serve as leaders of committees and teams, and I'm grateful for that, and we need that so desperately. But how does cooperation get the job done as we think about that over the whole picture? Cooperation gets the job done, and I want us to begin just with that passage that we read together. I'm not going to read it all over again. You don't want to hear those names anyway one more time. I almost forgot that all those were going to be confronting you this morning. And I appreciate you putting up with my pronunciation, whether it was right or wrong. The portion that they gathered together, I love that they did this, and it was so wonderful for them to share that, because in that was an opportunity for the people to be together hearing the law of the Lord. Now, what does that have to do with cooperation? Well, I'll tell you this. That passage and one other passage we're going to look in a moment in Acts chapter 1 basically causes us to be together to listen to the Lord so we know what the Lord wants. You know, if I read at home and I thought this one thing and you read at home, or you were sitting out in the park one day and you were reading something, you got this great idea from the Lord and you were trying to listen to the Lord, and maybe it genuinely was from the Lord. But when the people were gathered together in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of the reading of the Word of God, the law of God, they were hearing together from God. And my friends, I think it's so important that we recognize the importance of that. The value of that is that as we gather together, we are able to hear what it is that the Lord has in store for us together. Now, preacher, you've told us before, and I have, that once you get to the end of a sermon, you might have heard something, the people in the congregation might have heard something completely different from what was in my notes or from what I said. And I believe that, because I think personally in the time of worship, you need to be hearing directly from God, and you need to be responding to what God is saying to you as well. But the reality is that in the body of Christ, He speaks to us, and hopefully He is saying many of the same things. Now, some of the things He may say to you in your personal walk with Him might be as simple as this, that you need to come and share it with the other people of the body of Christ, and we need to process that together and learn how to take some steps forward, because it's when we get together that we can cooperate. Really, that's that point. It's when we get together that we can cooperate. So I love the ideas that people have, and I think it's important for us to share those with one another so that when we are together, we can make commitments to cooperate together. So let's go just to expand on that just a little bit more to Acts and chapter 1. And I want us there to read verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Well, he has 8 there. Let's just start in 8, because that's such a great, because it also talks about the fact of a time when they were together. But let's just begin there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Am I missing something? Okay. And when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, another long list of names, and Judas the son of James. And they all were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Okay, all right. We were missing little pieces off the back screen while I was reading there. If you needed an explanation, which you probably didn't, but that's what happened there. So here we have really the importance of these verses. All of the disciples, you remember all of their names, all the disciples gathered together, and they were together in unity praying with one another. Now, the life of our church has been marked by prayer over the years. We've had oftentimes, of course, for decades in the 62, 65-year history of this church, for decades there have been times of people gathering together, and most often there was a Wednesday night prayer gathering. We've come to a place today that's probably not all that healthy for us as a body in Christ, where we don't have a gathered prayer meeting every week. And that's something that's actually on the prayer list that those who gather on Zoom and pray are praying for every week and praying for just exactly how that needs to take place. And we have talked about that, and we're praying through that, but we do have several other opportunities for prayer, and we use the blessings of the internet and technology to access one another in some meaningful ways. We pray together on Tuesdays at noon, and we pray together on Wednesday evenings at 6:30, those who can and are able to access the time of prayer on Zoom. And we spend those moments, and we have a long list of folks that we're praying for. We're praying for the life of the church and vision in the church and the new leadership that is being searched for in the life of our church. We're praying for one another. We're praying for the current leaders, and we're praying for one another in a variety of ways. Folks who are sick, folks who are having surgeries, folks who are recovering, folks who are hurting because of the loss of family members or friends. And then we pray a fairly extensive list of people who we believe need to be saved, who we believe have not yet put their faith or their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of your family members are on those, on that list, and we are so grateful that you have shared with those that you are concerned about for their salvation. For you see, my friends, we are the church, and nobody else in the world is going to go to tell the people who need Jesus that they can be saved through faith in Christ, that Jesus loves them. Now, when I say we are the church, that doesn't mean that we're going to all get together and carpool over to somebody's house and be with them and persuade them until they say yes to Jesus. But sometimes it may be that you, as a sibling or as a mother or a grandmother or a friend, are the person from the church who will go and tell that person who is lost about how they can enter into a relationship with the living God, have forgiveness of sin, and the promise of everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, these are many of those things that we pray about and pray for. And here in the book of Acts, this is not the only time. But in the book of Acts, these were gathered together praying. This was even after the earliest portion in Acts chapter 1, where it talks about them being together and the Holy Spirit came and manifested himself in magnificent and wondrous ways. And then this was after that, and they still recognized that they must be together in prayer. Why? Because they were waiting for their next instructions. They were waiting for what they knew they would need to do in the coming hours, in the coming days, and to be available to the Lord Jesus to establish the church in the world at that time. Because that's what the book of Acts was all about, the establishment of the church and the growth of the church and the leadership of the church. My friends, in Nehemiah and Acts, both of these passages, we see these promises and these words that are the gathering of the people, the gathering of groups of people to pray and to cry out to God and to speak boldly to him. But more than that, as it says in Acts, they were waiting for the Lord to speak to them. They were waiting, and they were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Friends, today, we learn to cooperate when we listen to the same King, all right? We can get the job done when we're paying attention to the same instructions and the same one who is giving those instructions, and so that's how cooperation is done. Now, I'd like for us to go look into the book of Mark. This is, of course, before the establishment of the church, but there were some exciting things happening because this was the time of Jesus being present with his disciples and going from place to place and others coming to him. And sometimes as people had come to him and had crushed around him, there were so many people that others couldn't get there. Have you ever been to a place like that? You knew that you wanted to do something. You knew that you wanted to see someone. Maybe you wanted to pick something up and you wanted to make sure you got one before they were all gone. I go to Cougar games every once in a while, probably more often than I not more often than I should, but because it's fun and I have friends that I enjoy in that setting. But you see, I go to Cougar games every once in a while, and periodically they're going to give out a new hat. A few weeks ago they gave out a straw hat. I didn't get there in time. They were all gone. I've other times though gotten there in plenty of time, and I've received a hat. Sometimes two. One for me and one for the person that I had a ticket with, and it's just kind of fun. You want to get in line, you want to get there, you want to make sure that you're able to get in there. But sometimes it's hard to get up to the front of the line. Sometimes it's hard to gain the attention of those who can give you, and I'll call it the blessing right now because we're talking about Jesus. And in Mark, the second chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 12 because here is a story of a man who was lame and weak, and he could never have even approached Jesus by himself. But through the cooperation of his friends, he met Jesus, and he received forgiveness of his sins, and not only that, he received healing and strength for his bones and muscles, and was able to walk and leap and give praise to God. In Mark chapter 2, when he entered Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them, and they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this and within themselves, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. And as a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Here's a story of cooperation. A man who desperately needed to see Jesus, who needed a healing touch from Jesus. And you know, I have a feeling that as his friends would have gathered around him from time to time, they would have gotten together where he was, and they would even talk about the stories that they had seen and heard when they were out and about and seeing Jesus along the way, and stories of others being healed, and they would tell this man about Jesus and about the healing power of Jesus. And his face would be sad as he heard these wondrous and amazing stories, but he could not find joy in them, for he himself needed Jesus. He himself needed a touch from the healing hand and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would just imagine that very likely he would have said, "Well, I want to see Jesus. I want to go to Jesus, but I can't." And we often talk about this, that there were four. And the four of them looked at one another in the face and they said, "How's your back today? Are you feeling strong? Did you eat your Wheaties? Let's take him to Jesus. Let's take him to Jesus." And so they took him to Jesus. And they did whatever it took. They didn't move heaven and earth, but they took the roof off of a house. And they got their friend to Jesus, who was there. Everybody down below brushing themselves off from the dirt and the muck that was coming out of the ceiling and roof. And all of a sudden, there's a man who's been lowered down by his friends. And through their cooperation, they got their friend to Jesus. Do you have some friend or family members that needs the cooperation of your brothers and sisters in Christ in order to get them to Jesus? Perhaps that's so. Many of us, even as we pray together, there's cooperation in that and agreement in that, that we pray for the salvation of some souls. And some of those people on that prayer list that we have been praying for that salvation have been saved, and they've made decisions to follow Christ, and they've been baptized here in the life of our church because we prayed for them and we cooperated together and agreed that it should be done. But sometimes there may be something more important, something more physical that you need to do than pray. And at times, there may be some things that you must do. It may be that you partner with a friend or two or three friends and prepare a meal for a family that is in great need. It may be that there is something else that a neighbor needs. You gather your favorite teenagers and strong men around you, and you go and you clean up their yard and make it nice again, because they have come to a place where they can't anymore. And we do that together in Jesus' name in order to reflect and demonstrate the love of Christ and help them to know him. We work together as we respond to need. And in doing so, that is such a great thing. Brandon's going to buy those sleeping bags tomorrow. And that's because you responded when you heard that he wanted to help folks on the street to be warm this winter. And that's a cooperative spirit. That's a cooperative heart and a response to the need of folks in our community here. And so we work together in responding to need. Well, there are a lot of things that we can do in cooperation. I want us to look at the real focus of why we cooperate. First of all, it seems like I keep visiting this passage through all of this journey through the Baptist Faith and Message because it's really driven by the commission of the Lord to us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we find the instruction of the Lord in that. And in doing so, I think you've probably maybe even memorized it along the way. But the scripture says, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, if we need to understand what we should be cooperating about, that's it. That's the job. That is what the main job is, to go and make disciples, teaching them to follow Jesus themselves and to become a part of that great work of going and making disciples, because that's the main job. Acts 1:8, we read it a few moments ago. It says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, we have the main job clearly given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. There's no other thing more important that we should do. All of these other things are very valuable. They minister to and bless the body, and they serve others who are needing to come to faith in Christ. But the main job, the main reason we do all of those things, the main reason that we have collected toys and items for shoe boxes all year long is because we want the gospel to get out there. We want people to hear about Jesus. We want the children to hear the story of Christ, the story of Christmas, as Jesus came into this world in order to pay the price for our sin. And my friends, we are cooperative. We have a cooperative spirit in that, and we work together intentionally, purposefully about doing that very thing. And then in Acts chapter 13, we find in just verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 13, they're in Antioch, and Barnabas is there along with some others and with Saul, who became Paul. And in verse 2 it says, "As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off." My friends, we, as the children of God, are called to be cooperative with one another in the sending of others around the world to preach the gospel. Through the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board and through the Northwest Baptist Convention, and yes, even locally through the Inland Empire Baptist Association, we are sending men and women to go and to teach and preach the gospel so that people will be saved. It was exciting on Thursday night as the association was gathered here. And by the way, I would encourage you, when we'd have these meetings, think about maybe next year coming. There were a number of you here, and that was a sweet, sweet reality. And of course, we got to serve them. And by the way, everything I heard was, it was great. It was great. One of the best meals they've ever had. Of course, the fellowship. But as we came upstairs and we had the meeting, we were able to hear from several who gave testimonies of what God is doing in their lives to reach people with the gospel. And they were asked to bring these testimonies because they are among those who are being sent. There's a young man named Andrew Nguyen. He's Vietnamese. He doesn't speak Vietnamese. He grew up in the United States, but that's his heritage. Andrew has, he grew up in the Longview area, and he has spent a lot of time over the last couple of decades growing up into Christ. And he discovered a call to plant a church, and so he is here in our association now, sponsored by the Rock Church, and beginning the work of planting a church in Post Falls. And so Andrew is here. And then there were several others, another Slavic group that's being sponsored and supported through another one of our churches in the association. We heard a little bit from them and some other testimonies, even as our friend Michael Liner, which I don't know if you all know him or not, but Michael has gone back to Montana to serve and be part of a church family that is struggling and growing. He thought he was going over there to help them shut the doors. But he got there, and there were about 40 people who really wanted to do something. 40 people of all ages, and it was a sweet blessing for him to go and to help them to begin a transition to a dying church, from a dying church to a growing and vital, living body of Christ. And that's always an exciting reality. And there are other testimonies of things going on around us. And then, of course, in our larger picture, we are sending people around the world through our International Mission Board, which, of course, we're soon to be promoting the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're about a month away from beginning that promotion and that process. We are together with Southern Baptist churches all across the United States and in Canada giving annually to support the work of the International Mission Board, which still the work of the International Mission Board is funded by about 50% by the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so that's a very significant thing that we are able to participate in. And so we cooperate with those across our convention and around in order to send missionaries to various places in the world. And of course, we had one of those here recently in September. Our friend Alan was here, and we were able to hear of his ministry and some stories from him just before he went back to his place of service. And there are some others who have gone out from here and others who have come and shared with us, and we've learned much about. And every chance you get, learn about and read about the work that these are doing. It's such a sweet blessing. My friends, we have a cooperative spirit and heart. We know the main job. We have a commitment as Baptists to cooperate with one another in the body, with one another in other local churches, and also with one another across our great land to send missionaries, to send the gospel message around the world. I want to say thank you to you for your commitment for that, to that cooperation as members of this body in Christ, because it makes a huge difference for us as we're able to both celebrate what's being done there and what we are able to personally be a part of along the way. Thank you, and God bless you in that. Well, I've preached a two-part sermon over the last 2 weeks, and both weeks I went overtime. I hope you haven't noticed too much. But as we come to this moment right now, I just want to encourage you, first of all, to be sure that you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you have done so, be willing to follow him in obedience. If you've never taken the step of baptism, then I would encourage you even to make that commitment today. Because you see, We baptize to help people be obedient, and we baptize so that we are obedient, because the Great Commission says that the church is to make disciples and baptize them. And we baptize in order to be obedient and faithful to Christ and to reflect that way that we have been identified with Him through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And we celebrate that in the act of baptism. If you've never been baptized, let us help you to walk in obedience with Christ. We would love that privilege. And if you know that this is where you want to be a part of the church, and perhaps you haven't made it, haven't shown any sign of an effort to become a member, if you want to do that, we want you to do that. We want to invite you to do that. We would love for you to become a member with us and celebrate the things that God has called us together to do. We have, in North Addison Baptist Church, a great future. No matter what the struggles and the sorrows, the difficulties that we face, as we together commit ourselves to walking with Christ and walking with one another and trusting in Him and listening to Him and responding to His leadership as He calls us out, we have a great future. I know this to be true, and I want to just remind you and encourage you with that thought. Let's stand together. Father, today we give thanks to You for Your wonderful gift of love. And we thank You for the way that You have drawn us together, the way that You have kept us together. Some because they just can't imagine being anywhere else. Others maybe because of sheer determination that they know and they believe that You're about to do something great. And Lord, I'm not qualified to really define what that great thing is, except that we have never forgotten what the main job is, and that when we walk together and when we cooperate with one another, the job will get done, and You will be magnified and glorified and made known among the people of this land, of this neighborhood. Lord, we lift one another up. We lift up those that You are calling out of the world and into the light of Christ. And we pray that You will put us together and help us to take good steps of growing and walking together, that You would be pleased with the way that we work together, but more importantly, with the fact that we're doing Your work. Because if we're not doing Your work, it doesn't matter how good we are at working together. Lord Jesus, be glorified. Help us. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.